This radio station all throughout the day, and I'm sure Paul and Jordana will continue bringing on folks to remember someone who is right now, today, and will be forever tied to the fabric of this radio station because of the skill, talent, expertise he brought to it, and also the kindness, the charm, the self-deprecating, and just the human decency that Roger Erickson brought to everyday life. Steve Murphy worked with Roger, and obviously has stayed real close with Roger, too, and knew Roger and the family well. Murph, I wish it was under better circumstances, but you know I always appreciate when you come on.
I'm glad to be with you, Chad. You know, I was thinking about you growing up in the CCO family and how he must have felt like an extended family member to you.
Well, I was making this point earlier, Murph. You know, my father dragging me around this place and elsewhere when I was as young as I don't have a memory. And in all walks of life, you're going to be exposed to all sorts of personalities. And you're going to be exposed to people who can be very talented and very skilled at what they do, but that doesn't automatically make them to be the greatest people in the world, right?
That's right.
Roger Erickson was both. I still, and it was well before I first was here, but I have memories when I'm 7, 8 years old or somewhere in there where Roger going out of his way when I'm in another room while my father's recording The Sports Hero or doing something where Roger didn't need to in any way, but approached me and was always genuine in what he said. And, you know, my final extended memory, Steve, with Roger was at the State Fair. And I think it may have been 2014, may have been 2013. I'm trying to remember which year. But I knew a number of people here still communicate with Roger a fair amount. And I wanted to have one opportunity to sit down with Roger and talk to him. And I thought the fair, it would be a great story. And I know Roger had a little bit of reluctance about some of his health concerns. And would that be any factor whatsoever? And Murph, he was a home run. I mean, he was a 10. He was just, he told such great stories, and he did it in a way where we had an enormous crowd and that zero to do with me. It was all him. And there was just a smile. There was just a comfort. There was just laughter as Roger was amongst people. And it just took people back to all parts of their lives where Roger and Charlie were so tied to what they did every morning.
I heard you say earlier that this is the kind of thing we say when someone passes, that we look at all those great qualities that they had. But in Roger's case, you don't have to reach for them.
Yeah.
He was the real deal. He was that way, and you're right. And I say he was the most beloved personality on WCCO Radio.
I agree.
Inside the building and yes, outside the building. You know, the listeners loved him. He was one of us. I think it's because he loved to laugh at himself, and he helped us laugh at ourselves in Minnesota winters, you know, sitting in the bleachers. Maybe
absolutely.
Talking to your dad because they had this real bond with the Gopher football and basketball programs, and talking about sitting in the bleachers and it's 20 below zero, and you say to yourself, oh, it's not that bad if mm-hmm. there's no wind. And that was Roger. He was real.
Take me through when you first met him and first started working with him.
I started in 1980, and he was one of the first people who ever came up to welcome me, shake my hand, ask me questions about myself, and of course it was genuine, as we've all been saying today. He was interested in people.
Yep.
Very, very humble. And I'm going to be repeating quite a few things I've heard today. By the way, he would be loving these tributes, but he'd say he doesn't deserve any
right.
of it.
Yep. And he does.
Yeah, and I spoke to Tracy, his daughter, last night,
yeah.
who said, you know, something I remember growing up with Dad was he always gave credit to everybody else. And he would say, oh, that engineer is such a technical wizard, making me sound good. And all these people from the newsroom and the other departments coming through and giving me ideas for gags. And, of course, we were on his back.
Right.
He carried us.
Right.
But that's how humble he was. But no, 1980 I came, and he and Charlie both were just terrific, as they were to everyone else. And it really was, and I know it's a cliche, but it really was a family.
Yep.
WCCO was a family, and that's how we felt. Just for one little example, I remember that every Christmas we had to work. Later on, we figured out ways where somebody could get a day off for the holidays.
Sure, right.
But Joyce Lamont would come in, and she would put out a big spread in the green room, and Boone and Erickson would always supply the turkey or the ham. And we just had a great time, even on holidays.
That is, you know, every job has its own unique qualities, right, Steve? You know, and it's quirky in some ways, and there just are certain holidays, there are just certain times when maybe more of the traditional jobs don't have to do that. And especially if it's a morning show, right? And especially if you're iconic like Boone and Erickson, and even in the, even on holidays, people are tuning in. And I think those are the moments where the people who work with them probably became even closer. But there are talented, as somebody, again, as a kid who's been around this a lot and then working in it, there are people who are in their hearts decent people, but they don't enjoy the interaction as much. It just, it doesn't come as natural to them. It's not comfortable. Or maybe that just isn't their default. I just never once saw Roger that way. And from stories you've told me, what Dave Lee said, when I heard Tom Gavaris earlier, and a little bit what you've conveyed even now, is how Roger would be here, and if it was someone who just had started, somebody who was in sales, somebody else on air, the intern, you know, I was here 2 years as an intern. You were phenomenal to me, but I knew there were a couple people, and I won't say their names right now, who are rather legendary individuals. I wasn't going to go anywhere near them because that just wasn't the thing to do. Roger sought me out so many times, just like he did the other interns. How's it going? What are you doing? What are you enjoying? How can I help you out? And he meant that, Murph. It wasn't like he felt like I just got to say this and I can have this conversation and be done with it. It was real.
It was genuine. And let me tell you about my favorite post that I saw today on Facebook. There's just so many of them. And so many replies from the audience and Facebook friends. But my favorite was one that I think was in response to Mike Lynch's post talking about growing up in Richfield and listening to Roger and even getting to see him when he was Bozo the Clown, and
sure,
Mike never knew that it was Roger or that he would end up working with Roger. But my favorite reply was to that post from Mike Lynch, and it was a woman who said, "Great guy, I used to talk to him at the feed store in Maple Plain."
Yeah,
and you know, right. he kept his farm roots until the end. He kept animals for a very long time in retirement. He loved farm life. He loved rural life, but he loved people. He loved to talk to people from all walks of life, and it was genuine.
The great Steve Murphy's with us talking about the passing of Roger Erickson. How did it work out that you ended up staying with a connection with Roger after he left here?
Well, Charlie Boone and I were neighbors, and I think one of the greatest times I had with Boone and Erickson was after retirement, because Charlie wanted us to stay in touch with Roger, Roger living up in the northern suburbs and
right,
Charlie Boone down here in South Minneapolis.
Correct.
So on Saturdays, we'd go have, about every other Saturday, we'd go and have breakfast, and each time we would do it, we'd invite someone else who had been part of our past. Jan Allen is a former producer of the Boone and Erickson Show, Bruce Hagovic, Eric Escala, Dave Lee, of course, and they'd come, Bill Farmer, if you remember Bill.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Bill, they would show up unannounced. I'd arrange to have them show up unannounced. We had more fun, Chad.
Yeah.
I have to tell you. Here's the other thing, okay? Roger had been retired since 1998.
I think people forget that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that also is a testament to his brilliance on air, that he's been off air coming up on 20 years, and he still resonates so much with people.
Oh, yeah. And Charlie had been on Saturdays,
yep,
but had retired from that job in 2010. But here's the thing. They were radio guys, right? Now, I know they were very, very famous over the years, but it's not like they were television news anchors who are recognized everywhere they go.
Yeah.
But on these Saturday breakfasts, inevitably, people would come up and want to say hi, shake a hand, recall a funny story, one of the worst jokes from the CCO's Friday morning. They loved, and some people, and I love this too, would recognize the voice.
Oh, yeah.
You're Roger Erickson, aren't you?
Right.
You're Charlie Boone, aren't you? It was so much great fun because they could look back and have so much fun recalling those days, and yet they were enjoying retirement, and they still had, they could feel the love, people coming up.
What can you tell us about Roger's family? What should we know about that side of his life?
Well, and I'm glad you asked, because they're so strong. Margaret's amazing. And I know she won't mind if I tell you this, because she would be very honest about her age. She's 91, Chad.
Yep.
And she's a rock. She's just unbelievable. And in final months when Roger was struggling, she was there for him. And I can't say enough about Tracy. Tracy was keeping us informed on Roger, and every time we were in touch with Roger, she gave us all sorts of support and thanks for doing it. Of course, we wanted to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, they're amazing. And I think it was pretty well documented. A number of years ago, Roger and Margaret and Tracy, of course, they lost Steve,
yes,
son,
yep,
and he was only in his 40s.
Right.
And he had had some struggles. And they are so strong, the Erickson's, that they dealt with it. They were just so strong and inspiring is really what they were. I remember Margaret getting up and speaking at the funeral of her son. You know, one little reflection that I love, Tracy said to me last night, how lucky was I to have these two for parents? She says, I won the lottery.
Yeah. She knows that, and Tracy's a great person herself, too. There was a point in my life where we knew each other very well. I haven't seen her in a long time, and I'm thinking of her and the entire family. You should know you're missed every single day, sir. You are another person who handled yourself in an extraordinary way. You were kind to all of us, and you have so many friends here, and I really appreciate you coming on to share these great stories.
I tell people I don't miss the 3 o'clock start time, but I miss all of you guys.
Murph, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Chad.
I hope to see you soon.
I hope so.
Steve Murphy, 24 past 2.